people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, August 8th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Very, very powerful show today. Important things we're going to go over regarding natural immunity, which we've talked about a lot. But we're going to bring this into an important context today in regard to how it's not just that we're seeing the narrative kind of dissolve in front of us, but we are watching like a meltdown happen. We are watching this happen. And it's such an interesting thing to watch in real time where we are. I'm going to show you an example in the mask discussion to start out. I told you we'd follow up on that. We're going to talk about masks to begin today. And I'm going to show you a point where right this moment live right now on Twitter, they're stating things as absolute fact that Walensky is stating. I mean, she said days ago on multiple channels, the diametric opposite. So isn't that medical misinformation? Well, yes, it is. Is it dangerous medical? Yes, it is, because you're telling someone to do something that's not actually accurate, that, as we know, leads to harm, but it's still allowed to be there. Isn't that interesting? But we come out and say things, and I'm going to make a point about this today as well, excuse me, in regard to the vaccine. There's an article written about somebody who basically states vaccines are not safe for everyone, which is obviously a fair statement. And that's what I've been saying from the beginning. Can you say that these are dangerous? Yes, because by definition, all that means is that it's able to cause harm. So he states online that these are not safe for everyone, which obviously there are some people they're not safe for, and we all see that, and he gets censored for it. It's just showing you that it's about narrative control, and that's absolutely it. And they see that they've lost control of this, guys. You need to realize, regardless of what the numbers they're throwing at you say, the majority of this country is very well aware there's something wrong right now. We need to tap into that. Very, very important. So to start off, I wanted to show you something that I saw on a note on censorship. As we were getting ready for the show, I just wanted to share this with everybody. I've seen this only in certain circumstances, but never when I come back to my locked computer. Now, this is just a screenshot of the locked computer before I opened it. And you'll note that it says your screen is being observed. Now, this does come up with certain things you can do on your computer, but I wasn't. My computer was locked. I came back. There was nothing happening. And you can see up top here, it shows you this symbol, which means it's being observed, like watched, recorded, something. All right, that'll happen, let's say, when you're recording a screenshot or something like this. But this wasn't happening for me. Now, I just wanted to point this out. Who knows? Maybe the computer just glitched out. Always a possibility. But I'm of a mind, as I'm sure you can tell lately, that there's some weird stuff going on. Whether it's why my computer seems to crash moments before I go live repeatedly, or every a number of other things we keep talking about. Any of these could just be random coincidences. But the point I use this to make, even if coincidence, is that this is, in fact, whether or not this is coincidence, the world they are openly telling you they're creating. We need to recognize we are leading, sprinting without our agreement, in fact, into a world where they will have this kind of control. If you're deemed dangerous, saying the wrong things, espousing the wrong opinions, that's alarming. Now, I wanted to make a point that a video Star made, over 1,000 views on almost 1,500 now on Instagram. Star is just knocking it out of the park with these short clips. This is the one that I was talking about just yesterday. I'm not going to play it, but I just want to show it for everyone to see. It's there for you to watch. And the bottom line is you can see Joe Rogan going over a clip of something that I've been talking about for a month or more. Not even to say that he necessarily saw that from me, but this is something we've been censored for, and that they're openly talking about this as if it's breaking news. And it's just interesting to me. And talking about how this is, no one's talking about this, he says, and she cuts it just perfectly right into where it shows, oh, except Ryan was last month. It's quite interesting, and it's happening a lot. But Watch the content. It's very important. By the way, she really is doing a fantastic job on here. Let me, I want to keep this link intact. I'm a Instagram noob, I guess you could say, even though I've been doing this forever on Instagram, I just never use it. Make sure, here we go. Okay. Just showing you all these clips she's been doing. Just really, really great stuff. We should try to get the title on all of them, I would argue. But see right here, his own words, you know, seeing the titles, and she's just killing it. I really hope you guys will watch these clips, like a minute long and just packed full of information. Really good stuff here. Now, one last point before we jump over into your risk. We're going to start off with a quick point about your actual risk. Again, 9/11 families to President Biden, don't come to our memorial events. I really want people to understand what this is showing you. Even NBC News is reporting this about Biden, mind you. This isn't some left versus right kind of a thing, as much as they probably won't try to make it that way. What this needs to show you is the illusion versus the politically convenient, the reality versus the politically convenient illusion. They're pushing at you, as always, that, well, we're all coming together as a country to celebrate and remember the day when they attacked it. Well, no, most people don't buy that because it's obviously not what really happened. And everybody seems to know that today. And it's sort of the idea we're talking about with COVID today. Everybody, I'm generally speaking about a majority, right? We know that the majority of people today, for up until they were coerced and forced and bribed and pushed into barely getting over 50%, have not been vaccinated. Yet they scream at you as if you're some fringe weirdo minority that's hurting everybody. Well, this, you need to see this kind of topic. People like Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, David Meiswinkel, I've had him on the interview twice, I believe I've had him on for an interview. He's exposing this stuff in real time. Hopefully he's going to have some great stuff, possibly on Super U coming out around 9/11. And by the way, I'm sure Corbett and plenty of others are going to have some really powerful stuff. But what's interesting here is that they're always trying to sell you the idea that we're all on the same page. But 9/11 families are not left or right, you understand. These are a lot of police, a lot of firemen, a lot of people that, by the way, every year stand up and go, you guys don't represent us. You've been lying. You won't even give us insurance for the cancers we got from doing what you didn't tell us was happening, right? This is an ongoing problem. But yet they always stand up every year and act like we're all together. They're saying don't even come. And I think that shows you what we always need to see, that they're always painting an illusion for you that works for the agenda. And the minority that they point to as the majority always leans into that, right? All the people on the left-right paradigm at the top of that elitist paradigm are always in there screaming about how we all come together on 9/11. And the average people do not feel that. I just want us to understand that. Hopefully understand that. Now, I want to make this point very quickly yet again, just because I feel like it was in the middle of the show yesterday, and this was a really important one. And as well as my kind of mixing up the ages, and you know, I want us to see this one more time very carefully and understand how important this is. This is from University of Oxford. This is their this is basically a calculator for risk of COVID-19. Okay, now it only starts at 19 and goes up, which I'm not really sure why, especially since we're giving even the injections to people at 12 still. Anyway, let's just go from, I want to show people at, let's go what I do last time. It's 45 years old. I want you to understand that we're talking, let's do 50 since that's kind of the marker, right? 50 years old is where they kind of say 50 and, you know, over comorbidities is where it really starts to get bad. So if we're all being told we're in the utmost risk, the biggest pandemic in a century, none of which is even remotely true based on all the real world data we can show, I want you to see what that risk would be for a person with no comorbidities at 50 years old. Now, I'm just going to kind of generally pick it. You can go through and I'll include this and pick it for yourself. We'll do male. We'll do other white background. And I think it was the same kind of like generally in, what was it? It was 170 or one. Let's do 170. This is centimeters, kilometers. It's a little weird, different for me. 65, I think is what I did last time. Okay. Now we do neither, none, no, none. So, right, no issues, right? No kidney disease, no learning disabilities, which again, I pointed out, I thought that was pretty strange that's even on there. I don't know how that in any way affects your ability to get, I mean, it's just strange, you know, but some of the things they include, like in England, we talked about were like dyslexia. And they were making sure people got do not resuscitate orders because they had dyslexia. That's obvious what that is, by the way. We're talking eugenics in that regard, but let's go forward. Don't get distracted. No. Okay. So 50 years old, no comorbidities, white male. Here's your risk, according to Oxford University. Make sure you really understand what this is showing you. 50 years old, your risk of dying from COVID-19 is 0.0057%. 0.0057%. How in the world are we pretending that we're all in danger right now? How, I mean, we're talking about elderly people that are already at risk with multiple problems. Remember, it was two or more by average and over 70. I mean, this is crazy talk, guys. They are combining something that I still think is predominantly an illusion, if not entirely. You could easily, look, I've made this point before. Could you make this complete illusion with what we currently have without actually having a COVID-19? Obviously, you could. It would be difficult, as any illusion would be, but it's obvious that the tools are there. Look at what Denny Rancourt just proved in Canada. He just proved with his research that based on the data, it's quite obvious there wasn't a pandemic. That doesn't mean that there's not something that was being used. But the point here is at 50 years old, 0.0057% means you're not in danger. That is dramatically less than the flu. I'm just laughing at a comment. He said, I think he said, they got Spiro. He says, you forgot to check the evil box, right? Yes, that's right. Hit evil. And then suddenly, oh my God, you're all going to die, right? But it, and here's even crazier. Associated hospital admission, which means not dying, but getting COVID. And then at most just having to go to the hospital. Even that is 0.05%. That is half. That's 50% less than what we're told is the lowest risk for the flu. That's crazy, guys. You're not in danger. Now, also, I pointed out last time, absolute risk versus relative risk. The same way they fooled you in the beginning by using relative risk when they should have been using absolute risk in presenting with to you the percentages of how much danger you're in. Doesn't that make sense now? Seeing as how the real percentages would be 0.0057 and they were going, oh my God, 1%. That's what they were doing. The same thing from the very beginning. There's been multiple scientific studies that have come out pointing this out, saying, well, they used the wrong one, and it makes it seem a lot more dangerous. And that's why we're now realizing it's not that dangerous, and all they can do is point to the hypothetical. Well, that could be more dangerous. That one looks like it's more contagious. Kids could be in danger. They might be having this long COVID. That's all they can do right now because you're being lied to. How in the world are we not trusting? Not that we should be trusting any of these people, but how in the world are we not trusting Oxford University when they're the ones telling us we should be trusting Oxford University? This is just clownishly ridiculous. It has gotten bad. Now, here's an interesting thing that should make you laugh out loud. Guess who just admitted he was wrong, even though we all know that already? Oh, my prediction of 100,000 cases per day was wrong, admits Professor Neil Ferguson. Yeah, among many other things, that's the smallest of which we should be concerned about. My prediction of 100,000 cases per day. How about your prediction of, I don't know, 3.6% death infection fatality rate, or your prediction about like 11 other things before this ever came to pass around COVID? This guy is a tool that's used to manipulate people, whether he knows that or not. I mean, this is crazy that this is even coming out now. Oh, you know, I was a little wrong. This guy is responsible, or at least the mechanism by which we were all fooled. They used the manipulated information, which they later showed, other researchers showed, was a completely subjective, opinionated slant to the information to make it what they wanted it to be. By the way, which he's done over and over and over and continues to be used for that exact purpose. Would you keep using the guy that keeps getting it wrong? Maybe if that's what you want from him, right? Just crazy to me. As here's what I said in my tweet, you can't be serious. Well, added to the pile, Ferguson, that raging dumpster fire of multiple catastrophically incorrect predictions that you call a career. This feels by design. That's just my take. You guys think into it for yourselves. Now, jumping into the mask conversation, you know, really kind of pointing out one of the big issues of the illusion here, the crux, one of them anyway. I guess you can't have multiple, but, you know, in the context of this topic right here, well, let's just say this is one of the most important hinging points of this illusion. The mask, the vaccine efficacy, obviously, the PCR test, a lot of these things are weak points. They really are. And if you just take the briefest effort, the briefest of moments to dive into the full breadth of the data. Not just what they point to, but showing all the other studies you can find. You'll find quite quickly that this is not even remotely one-sided. Now, you have to understand that there is data coming out on the other side of what we're trying to say. And I have always showed you that. I've always been honest about how there, well, here's a study that says the opposite of what I'm saying. But what I've done in many other shows, and which I'll point out links to in past shows, is that I will go through those studies and I will demonstrate why, okay, here is where they say they modeled this and based it off assumptions of estimations of previous data, right? That is the weak point. Then I can point to the studies that show what we're talking about and go, oh, weird. That's a peer-reviewed study, a random controlled trial that used real-world data with real people and did it for a year. And, you know, this is the difference. Yes, if you look at surface level, title versus title, you can go, well, my science says this and yours says that. I'm going to trust mine. It's about understanding it for yourself, which is what they're terrified about, which is, by the way, why I point to IPAC and his training courses, right? I mean, that's something you should all take a part of, is learn this stuff for yourself. And not just from watching this show, because look, a lot of these times I'm learning along with you guys, right? A lot of the stuff when this all started was stuff that I researched and dove into and really took the time to understand. That's what we all need to do. Self-responsibility. Now, here's New York Post. Masking kids and closing schools is irrational. Unscientific child abuse. Now, because this is a conservative paper, that's what just, oh, they're just anti-science over there, right? That's this. If you're out there saying something like that without first looking, you're ignorant. You know what? You could be right. But with you, if you say that without looking for yourself, you're ignorant. Because what you're doing is you're taking something somebody told you you're supposed to think when you read this kind of title coming from this kind of place. Now, if this came from CNN, how much you want to bet you'd read it first? Even if you were grudgingly going, this can't be true. Well, you'd still read it, wouldn't you? You're choosing to ignore data because you don't like where it comes from. That is ignorance. That's engineered ignorance that they're putting on all of us. Now, here's what it says, and we'll get into the actual data, regardless of where this comes from. America's public health bureaucrats, chiefly the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, we forget that part, don't we, are insisting on masking kids and granting baseless alibis to teachers' unions that would delay or defer schools reopening for another year if they could get away with it. Now, on the defer point, there's a lot of stuff happening right now where you're watching hypocrisy. We'll get to the Obama part in a minute, where they're basically saying, you guys all have to do this, and then kind of going, well, this, we'll let this slide because protests, or, you know, we've seen it throughout the whole COVID thing. And it's insulting to our intelligence, to everything, because they're ultimately going, this is at the utmost importance at all costs. And then, well, we feel this matters more, so we'll let this pass and we'll be quiet about it, which ultimately shows you it can't be that serious if they're willing to ignore it for a political reason or because of a football game or because of a soccer game, which we've already seen happen in multiple locations. But it says this even as fresh evidence mounts that kids aren't at risk from COVID-19 and aren't spreaders and that school closures do them grave harm. Yes, exactly. Evidence. You mean like scientific research? Yes. That they're ignoring? Yes. Not from a Republican scientific research, right? These are just scientific studies coming out that you can disagree with, that you can say are wrong, that you can say did and made a mistake, but there's a lot of it. And by the way, as I've been saying from the beginning, the very clear breadth, the majority of this, even the CDC in May of 2020 pointed out their 14 meta-analysis showed you that the majority of scientific research said these things do not have the statistically significant effect that they should, and in fact are causing harm. Hypoxia, hypercapnia, building towards bacterial pneumonia. These are all of what the scientific research shows you. And they don't care, and they're pushing it anyway, because it's not about your health. It's just that simple. And all of it's there for you to look at. Now, I'll show you in a moment the links again, which I always post. But it goes on to say, epidemiologist Shamez Ladhani, who led the study, found that children, quote, aren't taking the virus home and then transferring it to the community. These kids have very little capacity to infect household members. In fact, it seems almost nil. But I'll leave that for you to look at and decide for yourself. All the data is there. We've shown you, even from the CDC website, that they're basically not at risk. I mean, they're not. Statistically speaking, they're at zero risk. And then we can realize that all the research has shown that asymptomatic spread is non-existent in this topic. That's from the scientific research. That's not an opinion. It says, nevertheless, we Americans inflicted misery upon our kids. We took away school, kept them apart from our friends, and needlessly covered their faces. And what is that? We Americans did that? No, we didn't. See, this is part of the problem. This is what even people that you feel are on your side, at least momentarily, in the two-party illusion, this is what they do, right? That's a subtle point that drives you into the mindset that we did this, that Americans did this, that the government is the country. And that's not true. We all know this because you watch this show. But what's frustrating is that they do this quite often. We're talking about conflating the idea of what you are with what they're doing to you. And that is not something anybody should be okay with. But this is what we often see with a lot of these two-party illusion manipulations. But bottom line is they're saying that masks are hurting them, whether it's because of the lockdowns, the psychological aspect, or just generally the health problems that come along with it. As any doctor or scientist that's honest has told you, they deal with headaches and lasting issues with hypercapnia, hypoxia. All of this has been there from long before COVID-19. And I've shown you this many times. This is one I often like to include, Swiss Policy Research, because it's a great compilation that they update every month. This is updated in August, but they started this in July 2020. And as always, I always go through this. This is the meta-analysis I just referenced right here from the CDC in May 2020. That literally said exactly what I always tell you. That they found that masks have no effect, neither as personal protective equipment nor as source control, which literally challenges the entire, both sides of their narrative in regard to masks. Danish study, Oxford, Cochrane Review, New England Journal of Medicine, all font British Medical Journal, all coming to the same conclusion. Yet somehow we're here pretending like that's not true. Here's another interesting point, always showing you that the imposition of the mask mandates, the mandates being started, the beginning of them, following that led to an increase in the problem almost every single time. Correlation is not causation, but that's really hard to ignore. Same thing happens with the vaccine administration too, but let's all ignore all of this data, right? Anyway, there's so much in here. Please go through all this and look at it for yourself. Oh, and by the way, here's a PhD demonstrating for you exactly what we're always showing you, that it does come down to an aerosol issue, which is, by the way, what the scientific research has always been saying from the beginning, which is why we've always been saying that from the beginning. And now they're only just barely admitting what we have always been telling you. And that's only because it challenges the entire narrative. Sort of like the natural immunity to the variant discussion, which we'll get to again in a minute. It's because they're being destroyed with their own clumsy narrative. Just that simple. Now, here's what I pointed out yesterday. Now, I was going to go through this a lot deeper, but I'm really just going to go over the brief point again, because as I read through this entire thing, it's really exactly what I've always been saying. And this is basically just finding the same research and, in fact, pointing back to older studies that we've already talked about. So it's just kind of a redundant follow-up, but a peer-reviewed one nonetheless, that's exactly saying what we have been saying. As he pointed out, new peer-reviewed paper shows that aerosols play a major role in COVID transmission. Actually, 85% of the viral load detected. Exactly. But when you really break this down, you find out that I've talked to multiple scientists that have claimed that this, even the droplets ultimately carry dead virus anyway. These are a lot of topics that we could get into here, but as the study points out, fine aerosols produced by talking and singing contain more SARS-CoV-2 copies than coarse aerosols and may play a significant role in SARS-CoV-2 transmission, which is exactly what all the previous research has found, which is why the masks are not statistically significant in reducing transmission, which is all that matters, which is all that we've ever said, right? That's all we've ever said. And yet they point to a Facebook post that misrepresents what we said about one of our articles, and suddenly everything we said is fake news. And that is bad journalism. That's bad fact checking. There shouldn't even be such a thing as fact checking. You're a fact checker, right? You are the fact checker. You are responsible for your own information. And the person writing the article is supposed to be checking their own facts, right? It's ridiculous to pretend that there's another person that steps in to fact check the facts of the person that checked their own facts. And then who checks the facts of the fact checker, right? And on and on and on. It's a ridiculous illusion. You need to take responsibility for yourselves. As you all know, that's why you're here. Now, here is the joke. Here is what's on. This is live right now. This is literally as of right this moment on Twitter. Live. I clicked this right before we went live. So they are telling you right this moment exactly what we're about to show you is flagrantly false. As we've been doing the entire time, and this is why we get censored. That's pretty funny. Look, there's the Obama variant is trending. I mean, it's not even funny, though. I mean, it's funny because it seems to be kind of like swinging around and biting them in the butt a little bit. But maybe that's the point, right? Maybe this is all designed to get you concerned about new variants and realizing that, see, not doing the right you're supposed to does create variants. But the point is that it's the people who are injected that are leading to the creation of the variants, which I've done entire shows on already. That's actually what this point was all about. Talking about this, Well, I won't play it again. But the point is, but quite clearly, the study that we're pointing to shows you, that I've shown you many times, that this imperfect vaccinations, they say in that article, lead to increase in transmission. I actually lead to the creation of variants. And I've shown you this stuff many times. Oh, gosh darn it. Close that. I didn't mean to. Here we go. But the point is, the variant part of it is being blamed on the people that are unvaccinated, despite all the data very clearly pointing in the direction. So when you see this Obama, you know, Martha's Vineyard thing, which we'll point out in a second, where they're not wearing masks, not doing this, well, those are vaccinated people. How much you want to bet we're going to either hide what happens there or completely, you know, ignore the vaccinated are spreading to the vaccinated. And all the data from Israel is making that abundantly clear. That one case in the beginning is the most obvious. 88 people, all vaccinated, catching it from one person who was vaccinated, who caught it from somebody else who was vaccinated. I mean, that's just ridiculous. By the way, this is a location where, as I understand it, there were unvaccinated people, but no evidence of them getting it. It's just flagrant. Here's what it says about masks. Experts say masks are safe and effective in preventing the spread of COVID. Experts say, which ones? Ah, who cares? We don't need no source material, right? We'll just state things as text with a picture of a mask and people go, oh, Twitter says fact. Got it. Because that's how mindlessly following we are right here. This is it right here live. Vaccines are extremely effective against preventing serious illness. It's just funny. We'll get to that vaccine part in a minute. But I just love how they state this. And there's no links. These are just different tweets that are about it. There's no links. There's no information. They just go, experts say. They don't even say what experts. According to health officials and fact checkers. Which ones? Who cares? We're not even going to tell you which ones say these things. But they're saying they're safe and effective in preventing the spread of COVID. None of the data except modeling and estimates make that case. All the research we're finding are showing you that there is some difference. It kind of makes a difference. So maybe we should do them just to be safe. The peer-reviewed random controlled trials come to the same conclusion. There is no statistically significant difference in transmission, which means they're not safe and they're not effective in any regard. In fact, they're not even remotely safe when you factor in the actual repercussions that come that you find by having to wear a mask for 8 hours a day, which we already showed you the CO2 study from the children. Another major peer-reviewed study that found that children have multiple times the safe level of carbon dioxide from wearing these things all day. One kid had 10, I forget the exact number, but it was shocking. Multiple times the amount. And this was like a 7-year-old kid. This is hurting people and they know this and they don't care. Here's what it says. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommends that people who are not fully vaccinated continue to wear face masks and maintain a physical distance in indoor settings and in crowded indoor settings. And then they say, and health agency also advises that fully vaccinated individuals resume wearing masks. So why don't you just say you guys should wear masks, right? He's trying to make it sound a little different. Oh, but it's only indoors and part of certain bad areas. Well, no, that's not really what's happening. It's pretty much being told that people should be wearing masks everywhere. Masks are safe and effective at preventing the spread of COVID-19, according to health officials and fact checkers. Fake news. Not true. Now, the real challenge is when we get to the vaccine part. It's the same kind of update, experts say. But since we're on the mask, we'll talk about this first. It says health agency also recommended that everyone in K-12 schools wear masks. Right. The kids that aren't at risk, that don't have a risk of spreading this, are being told they have to wear something that doesn't actually do what they say it does, but it does add more risk and danger, which I guarantee leads to the MISC, which we've been talking about since the beginning of that, which is being arguably caused by that in conjunction with the injection, which basically is multi-system inflammatory inflammatory system of children, MISC, right? The point is that it's your body is being inflamed. What does it sound like? Exactly what we're seeing from the injection. We've been talking about this since the moment it came up. I'm starting to see it trickle back up in certain independent circles again. Look back at MISC on our channel and you'll find lots of talk about it. All these things lead to the inflammation, which is just being passed off as some connection to COVID-19, despite never actually proving that. But here we go. K-12, everybody, no matter what. Cloth, fiber, and N95 masks reduce transmission of COVID-19 when worn correctly, according to health experts and authorities. Well, that's not what the science says. Quite plainly, moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Further research is needed and inform widespread use of cloth masks globally. It says, however, as precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. Interesting. Penetration of these cloth masks by particles, 97%. We're talking droplets here, 97%. means it doesn't work even in regard to the large things or the aerosolized particulates. Medical mass, almost 50% of the time. This is peer-reviewed research. This is the only random controlled trial in regard to cloth masks. Why aren't they pointing this one out, right? It even took Tucker an entire year almost to point this out and misquoted the date, in fact, after we've been screaming about this article a lot over the year and a half, in fact. This shows you that this puts you at risk. The cloth mask increases your risk of infection. But yeah, here they are just stating the opposite. Because they say here, face masks do not cause hypoxia or bacterial pneumonia, according to fact checkers. No, that's not true. Plainly not true. Here's what's funny. This is new. This is recent. We showed you this back when it was first out. This product's an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19 or other virus or contaminants. I don't even know how people pretend they can defend against that. It does not protect any, not doesn't protect your grandmother, doesn't protect you. By the way, just like the CDC said in their meta-analysis of random control, of multiple random control trials. Face masks in general, neither as personal protection equipment or as source control, according to the CDC. That's what it says, and that's what the document says itself. We've shown you this many times. So how are they able to get away with just completely lying about it? Because there's an agenda taking place. The narrative is what's most important. And as long as they toe the line, like I said in the very beginning of all this, you could have gone online from the start and said, this vaccine will make you fly. Or how about just something more realistic? Like, it's not like, you know, hyperbole. This vaccine will protect you from every sickness for the rest of your life. I could say that tomorrow on Twitter. Nobody would censor me. Even though we all know that's not true. And even though that's actually pretty dangerous because it lies to you about what it can do. You see, they won't censor that. But if I come out and say this vaccine doesn't protect everybody, well, you get censored, and which we're going to show you in a minute, because that is, even though it's true, makes vaccine hesitancy. We have to see how obvious this is. And I know all of you do. It's about reaching that one new person in the audience. Of course, they can cause hypoxia, bacterial pneumonia. And according to the fact checkers, I'd love to know which ones, but they don't tell you, because here's the scientific research right there. And the bottom line is I've gone over this in depth a lot. I'm not going to rehash it all right now. Masks are making you sick, and it seems that's simply part of the plan. This one was March 1st, 2021. This one was regard to bacterial pneumonia, oral thrush, systemic inflammation, which I think talks about MISC as well. This was February 16th, 2021. Here's one from bacterial pneumonia, back from December 30th, 2020. Do masks cause bacterial pneumonia? Yes. Rather, can they? Obviously. Obviously.
I have an interesting theory, and really it's based on the facts and the science, that there is an issue happening, especially with the season, in regard to the masking and bacterial buildup that is causing bacterial pneumonia. And I mean, it seems like a basic conclusion to come to, but it's big conspiracy theory today to even make such a claim. But I find if you have thoughts, go ahead.
Well, not my thoughts. They're the thoughts of Jim Meehan. I interviewed him on my podcast on Breaking Science. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Jim Meehan, MD, he said, if you mask all day long and you mask these kids all day long, they're going to get bacterial infections. Adults are going to get bacterial pneumonia. It's a given in medicine that that's going to happen.
Right. It's funny how these painful, the common sense, right? It's just common sense we heard, right? Well, that's clearly what is being ignored. Now, all of that, if you really aren't to understand why, I'm not going to dive into it, because I know if I start talking about it, it's going to pull me into a 30-minute conversation, because I'm so passionate about this. This is why I haven't talked about masks in a minute, because this has been thoroughly debunked, like 100%. Not that it's always everything all the time, but we can clearly show that it can cause these things, and it does increase your risk based on the scientific research. So please take the time to understand this, because you're putting your child at risk in a very severe way if you're making them, allowing them to wear these things. But going back to the point about Obama, I mean, think about how alarming, this should really upset everybody. They are forcing your children to wear these things. They are putting people in jail in some places for not, and we saw that throughout this process all over Australia, UK, even the United States, arrested violently for not wearing a mask on a bus. And right now, they're pushing that back in and saying, you can't do this without a mask. You have to wear a mask at school. You have to wear a mask in certain locations, right? And even before we talk about this, how about this part first? How about the part that Dr. Collins here, you know, the director of the NIH, is telling people, it may sound weird, but parents should wear masks at home in front of their unvaccinated kids. even though they're not at risk and they aren't at risk of spreading it, according to their own science, which he knows, or he's just that ridiculously ignorant to what he should be knowing or doesn't care. Okay. So then you have Obama and his guests, none of them masking up as far as I could tell, or a huge, at the very least, Obama and all the other people. It looks like that's even more hilarious to me. What's his name? Colbert, right? One of these talk show hosts that are just railing against the stupid anti-vaxxers and all the things we're not doing right. And then they go out and they have a big party without their masks, right? Because they're all in the elitist club circle that you're not a part of. Right. So they're allowed to go do whatever they want at their nice elitist rich parties because they pretend like everything's either safe because they got the injection or because they know that doesn't matter or because they don't care. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, that's allowed because they're rich, because they're in a special circle of powerful elitist authority figures, whatever you want to say. Obama and his guests failed to mask up as he gets scaled back, as his scaled back 60th birthday party started at his $12 million Martha's Vineyard mansion as massive tents are erected and celebs pass, pals descended on the island. I wonder why. Hey, it doesn't even matter. The bottom line is, guys, this is all over the place. Just like every other time we've shown you of Gavin Newsom, of Dr. Bergs, of Fauci, of all these people getting caught not doing what they're screaming you have to do. Just incredible. Now, I'm not in any way arguing that they should be wearing masks. What I'm saying is they're telling you and forcing you from their elitist standpoint that you have to do these things because that's what's right for everyone and we have to all do our part. Don't be selfish. And then they go out and do the exact opposite. It's just so frustrating. And I wanted to show this because here's what they're forcing people to do, right? This guy gets done running a marathon, or no, I shouldn't say marathon, just, you know, in kind of a tongue-in-cheek. I forget what he actually was running. Maybe it could have been a really long one. I forget, in fact, but he was running. He got done. He won and he gets done and they make him wear a mask. This guy is panting, trying to get oxygen into his body because he just sprinted or ran or whatever. And they make him wear a mask that reduces his oxygen flow because they're children and they're terrified or they're virtue signaling. Thank God one of these people, it was a swimmer, got out and they made a big deal about it. How dare he didn't wear a mask after getting out of the pool. Oh my God, everybody point at him. Well, he got out and said, basically with his intentions that you guys are morons. He got out and said, well, you know, I just killed my body over there and I think breathing is a little more important. So any questions, right? It's like, good for him. That's paraphrasing. You know, and they all flipped out about it. He's probably going to be attacked every which way. But this is so stupid to me. This is just the most counterintuitive, ignorant thing I've ever, you know, and this shows you what a bad way we're in. This is despite the scientific research. Oh, that's right. This is just so ridiculous. I just had to add this in here. And this, you could add this to the Biden senile pile, or that they know these things aren't dangerous or they don't care, or they're, you know, whatever it is. This is Joe Biden. Apparently around all these people with no mask on anywhere, taking it off and nobody cares, even though, like, understand, they go, well, they're all vaccinated. They get double checked and tested. Well, that's not, right now their narrative is that doesn't matter. So you can't keep saying that. But, and by the way, I don't care about the fact that they, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. The point is their narrative is they should, and they're not doing it as always. But he then takes his mask off and, like, weirdly hands it to a child standing next to him. So the biggest pandemic in a century, and this is the big Ebola mask, you know, big dangerous thing with all these dangerous COVID-19, and he just hands it to a kid, which either shows you that he's lost or I don't know. I just have to show this because it is just absolutely ridiculous. And at the very least, just speaks to how this guy is not aware of what's going on.
He right there, along with his wife and his two children, who have joined him there on the runway, on that there.
What does Joe Biden put in Andy Beshear's son's hand? Looks like his mask.
It is his mask. You can very clearly see the loop on the mask right there. So he's got his mask in his hand. First of all, why is it okay to pretend that a mask that's supposed to be blocking dangerous COVID particles in the biggest pandemic in a century is just kind of looping and hanging over this child's arm? You know, totally no big deal. Like, this thing is not treated like what they're claiming it is. That's one of the points. And it never has been. That's why you're finding masks littered all over the park and the street and everywhere. You know, the biggest pandemic in a century and this deadly, deadly, dangerous thing. And we're just strewing these things around the streets, you know, not in a biohazard location, just, you know, whatever, just throw it in the ground. It's all good. I'll go buy into the box at Walgreens. It's so ignorant.
Left hand on his shoulder.
And there will be multiple vehicles along the caravan.
This is kid touching his mask, you know, whatever. Like, it just that kid, that mask is hurting that child. It is adding risk. It's causing problems, increasing his risk of infection. It's increasing his risk of oral thrush, periodontal disease, systemic inflammation, hypercapnia, hypoxia, even though he's at zero risk of COVID-19 and zero risk of actually causing anybody any harm. That's adding risk to him when he doesn't have risk in this regard.
And he reaches out the whole
look at this.
Thing. Watch right here.
Now, why in the world is he holding this kid's hand, first of all? That's weird to me. Look at that. Interlocking fingers. I mean, come on, guys. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is some kind of family member situation again. I don't think that's the case, but you tell me. I couldn't really find much. But either way, the point is the mask in his hand. That's what's strange. And by the way, I should just add, I'm only saying that because of, you know, I don't know this kid's relation to him, but that does not change the fact that Biden has a long, undeniable running history of being really creepy around children and women in a really obvious way that they, in an embarrassing style, try to pretend like it's just an old thing from a different time. Like, I don't remember them fondling children a different time. Oh, yeah, maybe we do. The point is that in their time, if this was normal, that's a scary time.
You watch the kid look down at it. That he puts it in his pocket.
Puts it in his pocket. I mean, yeah, it's just strange to me. Yeah, that's it. And just repeats. Very strange. It just shows you the either he doesn't know what's happening or that's not actually as dangerous as they're telling you it is, which is, you know, they're both true, actually. But just ridiculous. Now, jumping over to the school child aspect of that discussion, but in regard to vaccines. Now, this is ridiculous to me. And it just shows you the same kind of point that the rules or the narrative, like these things only apply on the side of enforcing us and our so-called misinformation, right? On their side, as I keep telling you, they can just do whatever they want. Yeah, go ahead and get it. Come get a experimental, unapproved injection, medical intervention at a Waffle House. Or the bar, for that matter, or at a circus, you know, totally fine. Because we, of course, have all of the medical equipment necessary for all the possible side effects. No, they don't. Despite how the FDA's documents, I've shown you all of them, repeatedly say that it's a mandatory thing. They must have all the necessary equipment. They don't. Of course they don't. But why does nobody care about that? Because it's not about your safety, guys. It's just that simple. Or how about the fact that the documentation from the FDA continues to state that if you have risk of serious anaphylactic or serious allergic reaction, that you shouldn't even be getting these injections. Yet all they do, and we read the entire article from that mainstream journalist who was saying that she had a severe bee allergy and she went in and got this done. And her only issue was the way that they said, yeah, you got an EpiPen? Okay, come on in. You're supposed to be a medical health journalist and you can't point that out because you're a hypocritical liar or bad at your job. If you guys remember what episode it is, you guys can point that out, but I don't remember. But here we are with the same kind of point. Schools, according to the Daily Mail, are already scheduling COVID jabs for 12 to 15-year-olds in letters to parents. Get this, before they have been approved by the health experts at the JCVI. Now, we just talked about this, by the way, the group where they already said, well, you know, we disagree that we shouldn't tell 16 to 17-year-olds they can get it. And then the government just said, we'll do it anyway, because we don't care what you think. Trust the science until we disagree with it, and then we go the other direction. Like, it's just so stupid how subjective and hypocritical that stance is. That's exactly why you don't, quote, trust the science, as Denny Rancourt points out. You trust the scientific method, and you're critical of everything you hear from scientists and politicians alike. That's what intelligent people do. Which we will have a point about that today at the end of the show in regard to another study that points out that people in our position, you know, they're critical, they're hesitant of this, tend to be the people who have the highest education level. What do you know? Just like that MIT study they don't want you talking about, right? But here's what it says. Number 10's top scientist expanded the jab drive to include 16 to 17-year-olds. We already told you about this yesterday. That's right. Simultaneously, they're like, well, you don't need your parents' consent if you're 16 or 17. And okay, let's open up those for 16, 17-year-olds. Well, isn't that perfect how it all worked together? Now they can just get an Uber, get a free ice cream, and drive right over without parents' consent. Because that's what freedom's all about, right? England will offer COVID vaccines to the age group at walk-ins from next week. Exactly. So they don't have to have their parents' permission. They can just walk up and get it at weird locations. John Fernley College it says it will vaccinate under 16s at school. Yeah, you heard that right. So they haven't been approved, and they're just going, but we're going to give them to at school, even though that's the case, and nobody has a problem with that. I mean, this is so incredibly immoral, wrong, illegal, against the rules, whatever you want to say. But at the end of the day, this is the same as saying, well, I'm just going to inject that newborn over there because I think it's right. How are we just going to pretend like it's acceptable to just kind of go, well, I know they haven't done it, but we'll give it to them at school anyway because the parents want it or because we want it or whatever. How is this acceptable? It's completely off the rails. And if the equivalent was done in reverse, this would be catastrophic. And we'd be, you know, committing violence against everybody by spreading misinformation. And it doesn't matter on their side. Schools are already scheduling COVID vaccinations for 12 to 15 year olds, despite them not having been approved. Yep, that's not a joke. It says John Fernley College jumped the gun on vaccinating under 16s by telling parents of children in years 8 to 11 that pupils would be vaccinated at the school. In the letter, the school said first doses would be dished in mid-September and the second in early January. Right. So the point is that this hasn't even happened yet. And they're already saying let's just give it a little more than a month. That somehow they know that these are already going to be given to 11-year-olds, despite the fact that they're at 0% risk and there's a lot changing. First of all, there's no way they could know. You know what this indicates? Exactly what the parents say down below. It's quite obvious to us that they either know something we don't, or that it's aware to everybody in the elitist circles that this is going to happen one way or the other. So they're going, yeah, I know they haven't done it yet, but we're going to schedule it because we know it's coming. How does that make sense unless they... I mean, you could argue they're just assuming it will go that way because I think we all see that's where it's going, but it just shows you there's not a choice here. It comes as a university announced it is offering cash prizes to students who can prove they've been fully vaccinated to drive the uptake of jabs. And it says Professor Adam Tickle, that's a terrible name for a teacher, the university's vice chancellor denied the move amounted to bribing students to get vaccinated. Right. It's not bribing you, but we're going to give you money to get you to do something. It's not bribing, though, right? One parent whose two children at the college told the Daily Telegraph, quote, I was just shocked that they were even planning dates. It just makes you think this is definitely planned, that this is going to happen at some point in the next few months. It's exactly what it shows you. She added, this is wrong for many reasons, but not least because it shows they are creating pressure towards a course of action without regard to the medical benefits or risks to the children supposedly in their care. Right. How can you possibly make appointments for this when you don't even have the data in front of you to argue that it's safe and effective because we haven't even gotten there yet? Exactly. It's a foregone conclusion because vaccines are safe at all costs because that is the vaccine religion that we're staring at. Crazy. Now, get this. It says, if they can prove they've been double vaccinated, or indeed if they are medically exempt, we will make them the award. And then says he added, we're not bribing them. What we're doing is just giving an incentive. Right. Okay. So I break into your house and I steal your TV and you catch me and I'm like, no, I'm not stealing from you. I'm just taking it without your consent. You know, totally different. it's just so dumb the way that they play these games. And look, anybody that's willing to make that statement is a very dishonest person who's leaning into their own agenda. They're not dumb. They know that that's the same thing, but they want to pretend like it's different because they want to pretend like bribing children to take a medical intervention that's experimental and unapproved is totally acceptable in the clown world we're in right now. That's just ridiculous, guys. And there's no end to this stuff. How in the world can they get away with doing this if it's not approved? It's because there is no restrictions on the side of claiming this thing can do whatever you want it to do. And this brings us to the really ridiculous part. Again, this is the live right now COVID-19 vaccines. Oh, it's weird. It just went away. that's weird. Isn't that weird? Like right on. Why? Right when I was pointing to it. Hold on. Let me just duplicate this case. Let me see if it comes back. That's weird. Isn't that weird? Look at that. I just refreshed it. It's right. Ah, look at that. Who knows what that means? That's strange. There. Oh, no, it went away. That's weird. Anyway, real-time manipulation. Oh, look, they pop back up again. Look at that. Trials show. Vaccines are extremely effective at preventing serious illness and death. Trials show. Trials show. Isn't that weird? Trials. You mean like the trials that we're pretending are done, that we're not in because it's not being studied anymore because it's safe and effective? And oh yeah, those trials that we're not watching. COVID-19 vaccines are extremely effective at preventing serious illness and death. Oh, they are extremely effective. Well, all the data we're going to point to in 1 second shows you that's completely not true. But let's listen to what the Twitter text with no source material or actual point, any actual names of people have to say. Thank you, forceful text from Twitter stating as fact, based on scientific trials from around the world. Which ones? Who cares? Experts say that COVID-19 vaccines, experts, which ones? Who cares? That have reported results have shown to be close to 100% effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. 100%, except that the Israeli data that we just showed you says that it goes down to almost zero after 6 months. But just who cares about that? Because that's what they're saying is that based on scientific trials, you know, the ones that they want to point to, that one that included seven people from next door, or that one that we did a, you know, an observation model of people that we're making up. But who cares though? Scientific studies that we point to, they say what we say. They say, there you go. It all works. And this is just so stupid. This is what we're supposed to listen to while I'm over here giving you all the material and letting you think, but we're the fake news. It just can't get more clownish than this. Going forward, it says this includes vaccines with lower efficacy rates, which reflects how well the vaccine works in a controlled setting. What? So you know what I mean? It includes, how can it be close to 100% effective at preventing death, but includes ones with lower efficacy rates? You see how they play the game with what they're claiming is efficacy against transmission, right? But it says, and does not account for a vaccine's ability to prevent serious illness. What? So you're telling me that it can almost be 100% effective against death, but yet this does not connect with its ability to prevent serious illness. Let me read that again. This includes vaccines with lower efficacy rates, which reflects how well the vaccine works in controlled settings and does not account for a vaccine's ability to prevent serious illness. But yet somehow it's 100% effective at stopping you from dying and hospitalized, even though I don't even need to say anything. This is just for anybody who is taking that and going, yep, that makes sense, doesn't care about actual, I don't even know how they tie their shoes if they think that makes sense. Here's what it says. What you need to know. Experts say COVID-19 vaccines are extremely effective at preventing serious illnesses. That's not true either, leading to lower hospitalizations and deaths. Studies show that all approved COVID vaccines, get this, are effective against the highly transmissible Delta variant. That's the key right there. Just wait. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advises the use of masks and other preventable measures, even after inoculation in public indoor spaces. Excuse me, got hiccups all of a sudden. Okay, this one first. Here is, I guess, just Twitter, right? Because we have no idea what experts or fact checkers or whatever, who they're pointing to, who knows? And that's total accountability, right? So Twitter and their so-called fact checkers are yelling at you that they're completely effective against the Delta variant. Well, here is literally what the CDC is saying right now. And we just played this for you.
Darren, do you think the CDC and others, for example, got the messaging wrong when it comes to breakthrough cases, people who are fully vaccinated but get COVID? Experts have repeatedly insisted that breakthrough cases are rare, almost dismissing fears, but wouldn't it have been better to give a more nuanced explanation about what to expect?
Yeah, wouldn't it have been better not to completely lie and hide the 100,000 cases of breakthrough that you saw? Yeah, that's the fair way to ask that. Wouldn't it have been better to actually tell the truth? What's your thoughts? This is so dumb, the way they frame that. Like we overtly hid that data and it's been proven.
I think we all have to recognize that with 164 million people who are vaccinated, we should expect tens of thousands, perhaps, of breakthrough infections. But the most important thing is not the number of the breakthrough infections.
Yeah, again, even right there, tens of thousands, 100,000 plus is what we just proved to you was revealed to have been hidden by the CDC. That's why they increased the mask mandate when they came. They're, I mean, she's lying to you in real time. They just don't care. They really don't care.
infections, but what happens here? Those breakthrough infections have mild illness. They are staying out of the hospital.
Nope, not true. I mean, I'll show you this data next. That's flagrantly false as well, but let's get to the point that challenges what Twitter is saying. This is what I'm talking about in the meltdown of the vaccine narrative. Like they're even their own team aren't even aligning right now. Like they're all over the map. She says one thing. Twitter says it works. It'll make you fly wings and fly to heaven. Right? It's just so ridiculous. They're just making things up, saying what they've been saying from the beginning, and it's all over the map. Washington Post will say one thing they said last week. She'll say something different now. Twitter will say something they've been saying from the beginning, and all three of them don't line up. It's pretty painfully embarrassing.
They are not dying, and I think that's
they're not dying. Really? Except for all of the deaths we're going to show you in a moment that Israel's reporting, or even the CDC that's reporting right now that she must know about and just doesn't care.
The most important thing to understand, we have a massive number of people who are vaccinated, and those breakthrough infections tend to be mild. And
well, it's half the country. Right. So if half the country and you're seeing breakthrough cases that are predominant over the vaccinated, that's not the same picture you're trying to paint here. You're pretending like it's so many people and that's why we're seeing this very small amount. That's just misrepresentation.
Not severe.
But what about all the fully vaccinated people who get the breakthrough infection? Can they pass it on? Could they pass it on to their children? Could they pass the virus on to older people, especially more vulnerable people with the underlying health conditions?
And that's exactly the point that we made in our guidance. So yes, they can with the Delta variant. And that was the reason that we changed our guidance last Tuesday. Our vaccines are...
Okay, so that's an easy point right there. And by the way, the data that I've shown you, the evidence is very clear that this was happening long before Delta. This is just their easy way to couch it with Delta and pretend like that's the problem. And then blame it on the unvaccinated, despite the data showing you that it has nothing to do with that. But, or not nothing to do with it, but predominantly because of the imperfect vaccinations or injections that are creating the perfect scenario to create variants based on all the scientific research. Now, she just said very clearly that the Delta variant is not stopping transmission. And all the data we've shown you up to this point is making it very clear that this is at the very least ineffective. But here is his Twitter as of right this moment saying studies show that all approved vaccines are effective against the Delta variant. That's not true. The CDC just said on CNN that the opposite of what that says. This is called fake news. This is called narrative control. They want you to think, they want people probably step back in, double check what Twitter tells them to think and go, oh, good. Okay, we're still good. That's the facts because Twitter said. Don't you see that it says fact checkers say right there? Why aren't you reading that? That's what people think. Well, if the CDC says, Twitter says the CDC says, then I got to trust what Twitter says CDC says. Right. And don't forget that we just played for you that the White House admitted that all they're doing is blindly taking what the CDC tells them at face value. Exactly like we keep telling you. Now, going forward, this is also the reality that's been there nonstop, that they're not wanting you to hear, right? If it's not stopping transmission and people who are being tested, vaccinated or not, are having up to the same viral load as people who are unvaccinated. Understand the viral load varies even with people who are unvaccinated. It varies in everybody to some degree. But if you're testing people who are vaccinated versus people who are unvaccinated and people who are vaccinated can potentially have the same viral load and that it's not stopping transmission. And after 180 days, it seems to have basically zero effect in regard to doing anything they say it does, according to the Israeli data and plenty of other places around the world. There's no difference here. The only additional difference is the increased risk you're gaining by taking this injection. Seems pretty damn simple to me. Here's the study. Some vaccinated and unvaccinated people in Wisconsin have similar viral loads. This is just a recent one. I've already shown you the scientific studies that have been saying this for a long time. The UK from July 9th to 23rd, about 67.5% of COVID hospitalizations are people 50 or older. Of people 50 or older were fully vaccinated. 78% of that population is fully vaccinated and about 2% partially, right? The link's right here for you to check the data. This is just never ending how obvious this is. This is the most recent one from, here, let me get the home page, the top here. This is the Public Health England technical briefing number 20 from August 6, 2021. This is that graph we showed you before. Now, again, this is unequivocal to me. They're telling you right here, and this is about attendance to this is about everything she's saying. No, they're not as severe. They're not going to the hospital. They're not dying, right? They go, no, it's totally safe and effective. None of that's backed up by the data that we're showing you right here. And this is from Israel too. Not this data, but I've shown you the same information in another way from Israel's data, but it's showing you Delta cases right here. And again, this is attendance to emergency care and deaths of confirmed and provisional Delta cases in England by vaccination status, February 1st, 2021 to August 2nd. So when you combine all of it, by the way, you get a much bigger picture and showing you that it seems that it's very clearly lopsided on the vaccinated side. But this is just from February 1st forward. And here's what it shows you. All cases, 300,000. Now, remember, by the way, that we just showed you, even in regard to the same clip from that White House person saying, well, we're just trusting what the experts say. They don't know, in my opinion, based on all the data we can see, whether this is Delta or not. The CDC even admitted in a request for information that the only place this happens is at specific locations when they go to the lab. By and large, the PCR test is being used without that capability. They admitted that in a document that we showed you on this show, which means that they're assuming based on estimates, which is what they always do. Estimates of flu, estimates of pneumonia, estimates of COVID-19. They estimate that's what's led us astray this whole time. And that's what the WHO, the BMJ, and the HHS have told us in the past. We shouldn't be listening to estimates of experts of disease. We should be listening to real world data, right? We're letting disease experts lead us into the fray. And that's the point. That's what they keep telling us we shouldn't be doing. And they just don't care. So 300,000 of what we're being told is Delta. Again, so within their narrative. Okay. Now you have here unlinked, which I could probably, my gut would tell me those are probably vaccinated cases. They just don't want to lean into. Either way, let's even ignore that one for a minute and realize that these combined are people with two doses, 47,000, people under people over 21 days after one dose, 46,000, and people under 21 days after one dose. So really you could say, you know, 75,000 plus with one shot, 47,000 plus with two shots, right? So combining that, you get pretty close to this number over here, which is unvaccinated cases, just cases, 151,000. So if we're talking about, let's just say like a generally like maybe a 60-40, 55-45 kind of scenario, even 60-40, if you're claiming that 60% of the cases are unvaccinated, 40% are vaccinated, that is catastrophically different than what we're being told here. It really is. Now, then of course, when you include the full picture, which I don't want to try to find it now. I just want to focus on this. But it shows you that's where we're leaning into now. But then you come down to the deaths, hospitalizations. You can clearly see the picture begins to lopside the other way. And that's what's important. All right, here are the cases, all cases. Look at this. Cases with an emergency care visit. Oh, that's the wrong one. Hold on. Where are we getting to? What's the? Did I grab the wrong one? Anyway, the death is what we showed you last time, which is the most important part. Of course, you can find these, you combine the numbers on the after ones and it gets reasonably close, but you have deaths are far more, far more. Let's call it 450 versus 205. 205 in the unvaccinated group, 450 with people with one shot or more. 389 with two shots or more. So how can we be watching people die with a higher rate after coming in contact with the Delta variant versus people with nothing? I mean, that's a pretty obvious picture. I think, but again, I think the real takeaway here is that if we can have almost close to a 50-50 difference of unvaccinated versus vaccinated in regard to Delta cases, that's not even close to what they're saying. They're saying it's everybody and everybody is vaccinated or unvaccinated. That's not backed up by the data. It's just not. But they're going to keep lying to you. They're going to keep pushing the narrative. They're going to keep letting you think that it's your fault for not taking something that you have every right to say no to, despite the scientific research clearly showing you that it's the vaccinated that are creating the possibility for the variants. And this is what I was talking about before. In a quick sidestep, Twitter suspends reporter for pointing out established medical truth. That's all a simple point. Vaccines are not safe for everyone. That's as close to an indisputable statement as you can make. It doesn't make you an anti-vaxxer. It doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist. You aren't peddling misinformation. You are stating a very obvious fact. And here's the tweet right here. Vaccines are not safe for everyone. University refuses to let student attend unless she takes vaccine that could paralyze her. Now, you could argue that that is what they took issue with, but dang it, we've already seen very real world examples, 100% proven that people are actually having issues, paralysis, stroke, Guillain-Barré syndrome, what's the word, Bell's palsy, going forward. This is unequivocal. So the fact that it can happen and it's not safe for everyone, it's obvious. And yet Twitter locked the account. When they appealed the suspension, as we've all seen, they basically said, delete the tweet, and then we're going to start your 12-hour timeout. And if you don't do that, we're going to leave you suspended forever. So they're making you self-censor. They don't even have the courage to censor what they know is allowed on their platform, right? Because they know that that could potentially lead to some kind of a legal issue. So they force you to delete it. And if you ever come back with some legal dispute, they're going to, well, we didn't delete him. He's still right there. We can bring him right back. There you go. All set. All good. That's why you're suspended indefinitely, because they're cowards for stating something that's unequivocally true. And the reality is, guys, that we're seeing this everywhere. There's endless amounts of examples. Endless amounts. Proving that what they're saying right here is not true. Right there. Or even what she's trying to argue, that, you know, that yes, it transmits, even though you have both injections, but it's not hurting you and it's not, you know, it's only the unvaccinated. No, nope, absolutely false. And here's the real world examples. Carnival implements new mask policy after cruise out of Galveston reports breakouts, right? Guess what? If you read the article, which you should, they were all vaccinated. Fully vaccinated Carnival cruise ship. They had to prove it in everything. Remember that? Remember, they had to prove it with your tests and your vaccine passports. And guess what? Even out in the middle of the ocean, had a COVID outbreak, proving the unvaccinated are not causing infections, right? So if they can be in the middle of the ocean with everybody vaccinated, sanitized ship. And understand, by the way, these cruise ships are some of the most sanitary, healthy. Like, I've worked with chefs that work in these places, and it is unreal. If you worked in a kitchen and you understand how serious and invasive, like, the health department can be, and what you have to maintain temperatures, this is like five times that, because you have to understand you're in like an isolated area out in the ocean. So if you have some kind of a food illness outbreak or some kind of a problem, it can get very severe because you're kind of in an isolated area. So the point is that if you want to use like a microcosm to show where the least kind, this should be the least possible with how severely strict they are with these kind of, you know, health measures on places like this. And then you add the tests and the vaccination passports and all the stuff that's supposed to keep you safe. And guess what? In the middle of the ocean, they all got sick in an outbreak. Well, because it shows you that the vaccinated can still spread it. And by the way, what I think this even more so indicates, that whether or not they didn't catch anything, the spike protein, or whatever else you want to call it, the vaccine is leading to the illness that they're then spreading. That's a pretty clear indication of that. I mean, really digest that right now. We're not talking about catching it and spreading it, because they're all got tests and their passports and they're supposed to be good, right? And yet they got it in the middle of the ocean. So maybe it could have squeaked on somehow. And then it proves that they can catch it and spread it, which is just as much of a valid point. But what if this proves even more so that they just were able to spread what the injection caused in their bodies? We've already shown you. I'll show you again. The important research, and this is just one of the many studies that show you this, the novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional role in key role in illness. They found very clearly that this research proved that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease, not illness, not sickness, but disease. Like COVID-19, like SARS-CoV-2 virus causes the disease of COVID-19. It can cause disease, which can then spread. Hugely important that everybody in the mainstream ignored, but trust the science, right? Very important point. Then Dr. Khan points out, the most vaccinated large population country in the world, Israel, is now reimposing lockdowns that work as well as the vaccine. Exactly. I agree with that. That don't work at all, in fact, that you're going to actually use to point to justify what you're doing, and on and on and on. The lockdowns are going to hurt your population far more than anything else you're doing. Maybe not as much as the injection, but yes, it will hurt people. And the injection is what's causing the problem they're using to justify the lockdown. You see how this goes? It's a never-ending cycle. One thing they're using, it's like when they give you medications that then cause problems, they then prescribe more medications for. And then that medication causes a multiple, you know, a litany of problems. And they go, well, here's this one for that and this one. That's why you end up with a counter full of 1,000 different medications that all started with one. That's not by accident, guys. And here we are doing the same thing with lockdowns to vaccines to masks, and just circles around and around and around. And it says, now what do we call it when we repeat something multiple times expecting a different result? Exactly. It's called insanity. Here is the actual tweet translated: COVID-19, reimposition of the green passport and other health restrictions in an attempt to curb the spread of the Delta variant. The Delta variant, right? In a country that has been highly vaccinated since pretty much January, right? So how are we pretending like the Delta variant even spread in Israel with 90% of the population injected? How are we supposed to pretend that that makes any sense? That literally challenges their entire narrative. If they all got injected early, which means they got it ahead of when the Delta variant was spreading all around the world, and Delta came along anyway, and most of them were vaccinated, even over the herd immunity threshold, and now Delta's spreading like crazy, it shows you the vaccine does not work. The injection does not work. And it shows you that the unvaccinated, the natural immunity, does work, as the science is showing you from Israel and elsewhere, showing you that not only does this work from people who had it from the very beginning, but it shows you strong immunity, robust immunity, even against new variants. That's what all the research is showing you that we've already shown you on the show. And guess what? That exact point is probably going to drip out in a couple months. Breaking news. Tucker has to tell you that, you know, that even the variants aren't our natural immunities working against the new variants, right? Just watch that. I told you this months ago based on the scientific research, or maybe a month ago. Here is a challenging point that they don't want you to see. We're over here going, the vaccine, you need the vaccine. And yet the reality of the world shows you that that's not even close to what we should be doing. But Sweden, on the other hand, continues to show you that doing none of the things they did is in fact the right move. This person points out Sweden just dropped to 39th in the world in COVID deaths per capita, as 99.86% of Swedes miraculously survived COVID-19. Miraculously. You know why? Because that was exactly the rate that we were, you know, like all said and done, right? You have a very, very small risk, and that risk only looks as big as it does here, which is not big at all, because you're factoring in the over 80s with comorbidities that die because of other things like the flu. All right, if you took the risk to people who are over 70 with two or more comorbidities, somebody should do this actually. Take the risk of people over 70 who have two or more comorbidities for the flu. Take that risk. Right? What's the risk for them in that category? I'd argue it's probably really high, the risk of death. Then take that risk and you average it out amongst everybody else, including the risk that's already there for the flu. Now, how much you want to bet that makes the flu look really dangerous for people who are not at risk from the flu? Isn't that interesting how that works? That's called being dishonest with stats and data, lying with data. But it says, I don't even know anyone who got COVID. Some say in Sweden, 24/7 fear porn deluge enters for 17th month abroad. 39th in the world, and yet they are supposed to be swimming in COVID-19 because they were the ones who are too stupid to do the right thing. Now notice that nobody talks about Sweden anymore because they all are proven wrong. Here's Martin pointing out that essentially zero COVID deaths in Sweden for a month now. For a month now. How the only way that this is can make any sense in the narrative they're talking about is if you realize that they are choosing to just pretend that this isn't there. That's the only way this makes sense. Nobody's saying, but here's why, because they can't do that. The death is the bottom line here. They're lying to you. But realize that this isn't going to stop. This is never going to stop until we stop it. Here's the Telegraph reporting. The UN is telling you, well, variants could be named after star constellations. You know, when the Greek alphabet runs out, when the Greek alphabet runs out, says the WHO COVID chief. When we run the alphabet course, we're going to jump over to star constellations, which will never end. Doesn't this show you that I don't even know how many we're into now, but I'm sure, I guarantee you, we've got quite a few more in the Greek alphabet, but we're already planning for when that runs out. Are you confused about what that shows you? This is never going away. How are we actually pretending like we're already planning for 14, 15 more variants or five, or how many more is left on the Greek alphabet, and then more in the star constellations? Because what? What is the logic of pretending we know for sure this is going to keep going? I mean, this is just crazy. Now, do we make up new names for, I mean, H1N1, different things for the flu stuff, but we're not adding different names. This is what you're looking at here is a marketing campaign for fear around COVID-19. which, by the way, is not even a secret. They've been caught. The UK itself has been caught marketing fear. There's a huge conversation about it. It's just incredible. But bringing this into the natural immunity part of it, because this is one of the most important parts to this illusion, right now anyway. And by the way, talking about natural immunity is not necessarily to argue that this is exactly what they say it is. Make sure that you're clear on that. From within what they're trying to sell you, that's all that matters. From within the narrative they're presenting to you, it's very obvious that they're even showing you that natural immunity, based on the research from before, is better than what they're trying to push in your arm. Whether or not either side is true. Like, I hope you understand that. Because they're saying the vaccine lasts for 6 months. And after that, it seems to die off. Even in the US, we're finding that research coming out. And then they're also telling you, from all the people we're supposed to listen to, they say that natural immunity can last the rest of your life. Yet, staggeringly, nobody in the mainstream media is telling you that. It's just stupid. I mean, it's just, there's never been a more obvious illusion taking place in my entire life. Here's MedPage today. I've shown you this before. Quit ignoring natural immunity. And the reason I wanted to bring this one up again is because of what it says right here. And this is what I've shown you from before. Epidemiologists estimate that over 160 million people worldwide have recovered from COVID-19. Those who have recovered have an astonishingly low frequency of repeat infections, disease, or death, right? They're just ignoring this. I mean, it just screams dishonesty. And even what's even crazier is the doctors on Twitter, I guess we're assuming they are the ones swimming around there going, no, 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 natural immunity, we don't know how long it lasts, but the vaccine's shown to last in long time. Remember, that's the one I showed you the other day. And then I posted all these links and he quietly deleted his tweet and never said anything. Oh, and guess what? You can go back and look at his Twitter feed and he's still saying that. He's still saying that to other people elsewhere because he's a liar, even though he's been proven wrong and deleted his tweet. He still goes about the internet saying the same lie, which shows you that it's about a narrative and agenda. Interesting article from Science Tech Daily. COVID antibodies remain stable or even increase 7 months after infection. Natural immunity we're talking about. So whereas we're seeing the injection die off after 6 months, according to Israeli data and elsewhere, we're seeing that the natural immunity, in fact, and this is, by the way, in conjunction with everything else we're about to reiterate again, can increase. So it can last your lifetime, but it will actually continue to increase possibly after 7 months, a month after it's already went down to zero in regard to the injection. It says the Servco study also provides evidence that pre-existing antibodies to common cold coronaviruses may be protective, which is what we've talked about from the beginning of all this. Remember that scientific research came out and said you may have antibodies already. So now we're going to realize that if a huge portion of this country, remember, again, they're telling you at the very least 35 million people have been proven to have had this already. And the estimation is it's likely over half this country. I mean, even think about that. So if we're talking 35 million that have been proven, which means they were arguably enough to get tested because they felt sick or they wanted to get tested, which means that if we're only talking about a 0.0-something percent risk, that means that a huge portion of people had it and didn't even know it wasn't even that bad, right? So then you understand the estimation that it's likely half or more. So you add that natural immunity, which can last the rest of your life, to what they're telling you is half the country with an injection, and then people who had previous antibodies to cold, and it's an obvious picture that we're being lied to. That if any part of their narrative is true, then we're not at risk. So you know, isn't that funny how that works? That if there is, so are they going to pretend that they're lying so then they can show you that it doesn't? Like, their narrative is leading to the conclusion, if you're actually listening, that this thing is not what you should be taking. And I don't even know how it's possible. That just shows you how incompetent these people are. It says the levels of the antibodies against SARS-CoV-2 spike protein remain stable or even increase 7 months after infection, according to a follow-up study in a cohort of healthcare workers coordinated by the Barcelona Institute for Global Health. Pretty interesting. But that's just new stuff on top of everything we've already shown you. Thank you to HPV Vaccine Side Effects for sharing this, including the link. I appreciate that. Shout out. Here's Denny Rancourt pointing out something that we've been talking about as well. Natural immunity deniers are the real anti-science brigade, and they're running your government. As he asks, this PhD, highly credentialed, how in the world could a vaccine provoke a better protection than the virus it is trying to pass itself off as to the immune system? which is how these things are supposed to work. Even whether we're talking viral vector or spike protein, it's the same concept. It's trying to pretend it's what it's doing the same thing without the negative effects to create the antibodies without you getting sick, right? This is the whole point. And they're pretending like what they're just lying to you today. This is the COVID clown world misrepresenting things that were common knowledge before 2020. Read the article for yourself. It's pretty embarrassing. Not that the article itself is bad. It's embarrassing that there's people out there screaming or actually denying natural immunity. The article is actually quite interesting. Now, here's another part. This is from Christine Stable Ben. She's a professor of global health, pointing out something that I actually had to track down, which is this declaration. As she says, on natural immunity versus vaccine-induced immunity against SARS-CoV-2 and the lack of need to vaccinate those with natural immunity. Martin Kulldorff and Jay Bhattacharya have written a comprehensive declaration that reviews the literature and provides a series of important conclusions worth a read. Now, this is on the other part I'll read. I'll just read you this part real quick so you can see the correlation. It says, the existing clinical literature overwhelmingly indicates that the protection afforded to the individual and community from natural immunity is as effective and durable as the efficacy levels of, not the current thing, but the most effective vaccines to date, ever. It says, quote, it is unethical to coerce low-risk Americans to take the vaccine, such as students and those with natural immunity, while other high-risk individuals in Asia, Africa, and Latin America are dying from COVID-19 because there's not enough vaccines available in those countries. Now, that's his statement. Regardless of how you feel about the second part of that, he's saying quite clearly it is unethical to coerce low-risk people. I still argue that this thing is too dangerous for even people that think they're at risk. That's my opinion based on what I found in my research. But that's why I tell you to look into it for yourself and read the scientific research. Bottom line is it should be your choice based on all of this. And that's all I've ever said. If you think you need this, if you think you want it, it's your choice. That's it. That's always what I've said. Now here is it's interesting how I couldn't find this in a lot of places, but here's a Tennessee Star pointing this entire topic out. Law professor with naturally acquired COVID immunity battles George Mason University's strict vaccine mandate. Now it says a George Mason University law professor with natural acquired immunity and from COVID is fighting against his employer's strict COVID vaccine mandate. Antonin Scalia law school professor Todd Zywicki, who recovered from a bout with COVID and had blood tests showing antibodies to the virus, said he will not agree to the university's policy that employees get the vaccine or face numerous sanctions. Quote, George Mason is forcing me to choose between serving my students on one hand and undergoing an unnecessary and potentially risky medical procedure on the other, according to Zywicki. He says, quote, multiple clinical studies have shown that natural immunity provides at least as much protection against reinfection as the most effective vaccines and unquestionably more protection than less effective vaccines from China and elsewhere that university policy approves. Pretty interesting. Down here, it says the existing clinical literature overwhelmingly indicates, as we read before, that the protection afforded to the individual and community from natural immunity is as effective and durable as the efficacy levels of the most effective vaccines to date. Now, here's something I want to point out I find very interesting. I'm not finding this on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times. Isn't that interesting? Interesting omission of some very important information coming out, right? But here's something I wanted to point out. It's right here. Today we have this back, is, you know, especially people like, you know, over here on Rumble, screaming about the China virus and the, you know, two-party, you know, the evil Democrats and the China and Wuhan only and Fauci only, you know, very, very aggressively one-sided discussion, leaving out, intentionally omitting very important information that shows you the Republicans and Trump and everything else are just as involved in all of this. All of it. Anybody honest can point that out, and it's so obvious to see. The point is that right now, anything coming from a China source, sort of like how anything coming from like a Middle East source during the height of the war on terror was just immediately fake news. And, oh, you're going to trust those terrorists. People are just that stupid when they get taken by the propaganda. Same kind of thing, right? the Kung flu and the China virus. People are still calling. You realize that even if it's shown to have come from China, it's still dumb to call it the China virus. And that's exactly what we've done a lot throughout history. It's been widely regarded before this that you just never use the location it's first seen as the name, because it's almost always shown to be incorrect. Sort of like the Spanish flu, which started in Kansas, which is a fact that you can look up right now, that the U.S. military spread around the world. You can look it up on Wikipedia, for crying out loud. But it's called the Spanish flu because Spain was the first one to talk about it. And the U.S. government, surprise, surprise, said Spanish flu. And they blamed it on Spain. And that's how it went down in history until we later looked back and found out that wasn't true. The point being, that's why we don't do that. But that's why when it first started, before anybody could possibly know what was going on, the U.S. government grabbed the microphone and said, China flu, China virus. And that's what's continued because politics, because two-party illusion nonsense. My point here is that one of the only articles I could find that really went in depth about a lot of this was coming from China Daily. And I was just like, well, I want to show that one because people are going to be, oh, it's just from China. You know what I mean? And it's just frustrating that it's like, well, it's about the data, guys. Tennessee Star is talking about it. Here's on somebody on LinkedIn showing you the same information, showing you the same exact data. You can look it up here. And I'm going to read what it says here as well, just to make a point that it doesn't matter as long as you vet it and look into it and show discernment and research it for yourself. Just because China Daily wrote it doesn't mean it's automatically fake news. I just don't know why you have to say that today. You should question it like everything else. It says, why isn't natural immunity from the novel coronavirus, which numerous medical experts and studies suggest is longer lasting and stronger than vaccine-generated protection, part of the prevailing COVID-19 discussion? A George Mason University law professor and a Paris-based Canadian journalist would like to know. That's the one we just talked about right here. So I find it interesting that none of the mainstream out there in the U.S. is talking about this, but here's China Daily pointing it out. And this isn't just about the U.S. stuff. This is about everywhere, China included. No one's talking about natural immunity. Now it says, Zywicki is raising an issue that is largely being ignored by the government and mainstream media and their push for mandatory vaccinations, the millions of people with natural antibodies. New Civil Liberties Alliance, a nonpartisan, nonprofit civil rights group, has filed a complaint, in fact, with the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia on behalf of Zywicki. You can see this over here on the Tennessean as well, the Tennessee Star. Quote, George Mason University's arbitrary, irrational, and unscientific policy forces our client, a tenured law school professor who has devoted his life to serving his community and his country, to ignore the medical advice of his own doctor. That's the Civil Liberties Alliance, New Civil Liberties Alliance. Now, how does that make sense? How can it be unscientific or, you know, anti-science to ignore the advice of your medical doctor? For politics. It says GMU's attempt to interfere with Professor Zywicki's bodily autonomy with no legitimate rationale for doing so not only violates medical ethics, but also fundamental rights protected in the 9th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution. Exactly. This is Janine Jonas, NCLA Litigation Counsel. The professor recovered from the coronavirus and says that tests confirm he has got antibodies. He does not want to take the vaccine and risk complications or a bad reaction. Remember, these can last the rest of your life. Zywicki has a letter from his doctor who advised against the shot. And yet they're still pretending he has to do this? How does that make sense? All they're going to do is, oh, that's probably a Republican doctor. Oh, and then it all makes sense, right? How can we be this ignorant? It says he also has a joint statement of support from Dr. J. Bhattacharya, professor of medicine at Stanford University, and Martin Kuldroff, who this is the what we just read to you, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical Center. Stanford and Harvard. That's what we were just reading in regard to saying that this is medically unacceptable, unethical to coerce them. But mainstream media says only anti-science conspiracy theorists say that. I guess that's what they are at Stanford University and Harvard Medical Center. It says they note that the existing clinical literature overwhelmingly indicates that the protection afforded to the individual and community from natural immunity is as effective and durable as the efficacy levels of the most effective vaccines to date. That's in general. It says many in the media have portrayed the unvaccinated as ignorant. A large part of the problem is that honest, open, transparent medical debates are often censored by the ridiculously arbitrary policies of social media companies. Exactly like we just showed you, like stating an unequivocal fact and being censored because it challenges the narrative. Now, it says on Monday, the White House announced that 70% of Americans have received at least one shot of COVID-19 vaccine. 70% of the approximate U.S. population of 330 million is 231 million. Combine that number of those who have been vaccinated and those who have survived the vaccine, the likely number of people who have found some form of protection is around 80%. Where have you heard that? From me. Because it's a valid point to point out the overlap. And this was actually last night where I kind of just thought about this in the live show. I think that's why they're so afraid of natural immunity, because it paints a very clear picture that shows you, if you're believing their narrative and you believe that the injections work, which I don't think they do, but that's, again, in their narrative, then we should all be safe right now. They're not going to do that. They're going to continue to refuse to admit, well, maybe natural immunity works. We're not sure. Even though all the science, every single thing that's researching, it's coming out showing you that it's robust and lasting. But if, as long as they go, we don't know for sure, they can keep kicking it down the road and keep pretending the vaccine. In the meantime, everybody must be vaccinated, right? That's what's happening. And while the world has seen a new surge in cases attributed to the Delta variant, the COVID mortality rate is not what it was before the vaccines arrived, out before millions of people acquired natural immunity. Consider the recent dilemma of Paris-based journalist Rachel Mardson, denied entry into her home country of Canada. Meaning that, by the way, the deaths have bottomed out, and yet they're continuing to pretend like the danger is there. But this is the Canadian story we just talked about. Now just realize that, Giant Daily or not, they're making points in this discussion that are 100% valid, that you can easily verify regardless of where it comes from, that you're not hearing anywhere in the mainstream media here in this country. Valid point. Doesn't mean that you should trust China Daily over anybody else. You should question them just like me and everybody else, because they could be making mistakes. They could be lying for China-driven policies. Everything. Because you shouldn't trust China or the United States governments, because they're all trying to lie to you. The frustrating part about it is, though, people will dismiss this because China virus, and they're all, you know, oh, you're going to listen to China Daily? You're a shill. That's ignorance talking. Now, this is what we just showed you. This woman is being refused access to Canada. She was actually forced to fly back to France because she had two antibody tests, one PCR test, all showing you that she's not sick. Negative test for PCR, and a document signed by her doctor showing that she has machine verified, laboratory verified antibodies. And that's not enough. You have to fly back because they don't care about natural immunity. Now, here are some new studies. Here's one from Cell Reports Medicine. Longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immune memory after natural infection. And guess what? With persisting antibody responses and memory B and T cells. That's a slam dunk. Not only just persisting antibody responses, but memory B and T cells. That's huge. And this was, where was it right here? This was from July 20th, 2021. Apparently they just don't see all that. You know, all these leading health experts are apparently just unaware of the things that I find on my computer at home. Totally adds up, right? We don't know for sure how long it lasts. Yeah, all the research. Oh, guess what? Here's The Lancet. You know, that anti-science fringe fake news group, right? June 1st, they're all still screaming at you saying, we don't know for sure. SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune responses, regardless of disease severity. That's huge. That means it doesn't matter, asymptomatic or whatever you want to call it, guys. You could have a brief passing issue with this and not even know you had it and have robust adaptive immune responses. According to what they tell you, overall, the majority of patients had robust adaptive immune responses, regardless of the disease severity. Now, overall majority, you could be like, oh, maybe 60%. Well, that's not what everybody else finds. Here's also the NIH from January 26, 2021, telling you lasting immunity found after COVID-19. You know, all the people we're supposed to be listening to, right? Here's Nature, most trusted scientific publications. May 26, 2021, COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime. Bone marrow cells that can churn out antibodies for decades, right? Probably make antibodies for the rest of your lives. And here's the WHO telling you, within 4 weeks, 90 to 99% of individuals who've been infected have detectable antibodies. Remember, that's regardless of whether it is severe, regardless of disease severity. So if not up to 99% of people, regardless of how severe, do have these antibodies, and Nature tells you they can last the rest of your life, right? And this most recent peer-reviewed study tells you that it is durable and robust. There's no misunderstanding this. And I know you guys have seen this a lot. So as always, thank you for those that are repeated viewers for bearing with the repetition. This is important. This is about drilling this in, battering back the propaganda, and making sure new people see this. This is huge. July 26th. On top of that, here's one from March 15th that adds something even more important. Regardless of any of what we just told you, a majority of uninfected adults, people that have not even been affected with COVID-19, show pre-existing antibody reactivity. There's a no-brainer here, guys. Whether or not you've had it, you have pre-existing antibody reactivity, a majority of people. If you do have it, which is half the country we're being told, estimations, it's lasting, robust, up to 99% of people have it, and it could last the rest of your life. There's no misunderstanding this. And it comes from The Lancet. It comes from NIH, comes from Nature, comes from WHO, comes from a peer-reviewed scientific research. I mean, it just gets absurd that they're pretending this isn't there. Here's another very important one. Now this, I had to find out who this was. Epidemiologist believes that now we must try to achieve herd immunity against the coronavirus by letting it continue. What do you say? What do you know about that? But try to prevent serious illness by protecting the vulnerable. That's the Great Barrington Declaration. You know why? Because that's what makes sense. Because adding this imperfect injection is causing the problem, as we've shown you many times. That's what's leading to the variants. The point is that if you keep punching in the imperfect injections and they keep making problems and variants, well, it's going to continue to do so because you're never going to get everybody. But if you pull back the injection entirely, sort of like what I pointed out with the flu cycle, well, eventually everybody would get it and get pass it, and then the antibodies would be there, and then you wouldn't be creating more variants, and it would never be a problem again. But you know what that would destroy? You know, the repeated vaccine sales for flu. Shocker, right? But what we're seeing here is the same point. What he's telling you is we need to pull back the injections and let this just run its course while protecting the seriously vulnerable people that are over 70 with comorbidities, keeping them independent, keeping them healthy, giving them anaphylaxis treatments. He says the goal at this point cannot be to eradicate virus from society. Why? Because that's dumb, and we all know that. You don't remove it. It's never going to go away, right? It's always going to be there. But you can stop it from being something that hurts people, like the chicken pox, let's say. That's the point. But it's always there. But they're lying to you to pretend it can get to a zero-sum scenario here. Just like we're going to remove terrorism. Yeah, how'd that work out? That was never the plan. His name was, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but I looked it up right here, and here's who he is. An Icelandic doctor and the chief epidemiologist of the Icelandic Directorate of Health since 2015. Right, classically anti-science fringe conspiracy theorist group, right? He has been one of the lead members of the Iceland's Department of Civil Protection and Emergency Management addressing the COVID-19 pandemic in Iceland. Bottom line, very mainstream, very important when he says this. He is telling you from a very leading position in Iceland, if not the leading position, that we need to stop what we're doing and we need to let herd immunity run its course with the natural engagement, because that is what we all should know by now is what makes the most sense. Now, after everything we said, right, after all the reality, all the information coming from all of the groups that we're supposed to be listening to, they tell us, telling you that it is there, right? Here is what the director of the NIH just said on June 22nd. Remember that most of these were posted long before June 22nd. Not that one, but most of them, okay? So that he knows this, that that's there, right? Here's what he just said. Oop, jumping ahead. Here's what he just said. The title is How Immunity Generated from COVID Vaccines Differ from an Infection. Okay, so somebody actually just sent me one of these before and says, well, there's a study saying, well, our study shows that people who have mRNA injections have this high a level of this and that. And you find out when you read through that is what it's really pointing to is limited research, and including stuff that came from trials from companies that have a vested interest in lying about this. And as the real world data is showing you, that's not the case. But regardless, well, even if you had a study that showed you absolutely the contrast of what we're saying, you just cannot deny every single group that they keep screaming about, The Lancet, the NIH, the Nature, WHO, all of them saying unequivocally that this is here. So this is kind of like the mask discussion. A modeling study comes out that they like to point to that says mRNA vaccines work better than everything. And that's all they point to and say, see, they're all wrong. So then we're not supposed to trust what these people say? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Regardless, it always comes down to your discernment. And if you're looking at all the people they tell you to trust, all saying one thing versus a modeling study done in the middle of this, it's a no-brainer what you should consider makes the most sense. But here's what Dr. Collins had to say. Remember, he's the person above Dr. Fauci in the NIH. It says, now a new NIH-supported study, right? This is ignoring all the other ones, right? Including this NIH study that says the opposite. So we'll ignore the first thing we found and we'll point to the newest one that we paid for, right? A new NIH-supported study, that's what that means, shows that the answer to this question will vary based on how an individual's antibodies against SARS-CoV-2 were generated, meaning how well of a response you have. Well, of course, because it's always the case. It always depends on how your body engages with this. But bottom line is, as The Lancet is saying, regardless of severity, it's robust. And they'll tell you it lasts the rest of your life, according to all the rest of them. But he goes on to say, over the course of a naturally acquired infection or form of COVID-19 vaccine. Now it says, the new evidence shows that protective antibodies generated in response to an mRNA vaccine will target a broader range of SARS-CoV-2 variants carrying single letter changes in the key portion of the spike protein compared to antibodies acquired from an infection. That is simply not true, regardless of what this one study says. We've been showing you for a while now, and even according to the CDC, that's not true. The injections are not holding up against this variant or the ones we're seeing next. We've already shown you this for Epsilon and the rest. It's happening real time right now. But because this one study says the opposite, regardless of what we're literally watching happen or what Walensky says on the show, it's just, this is paid research that's leaning into what they want to see. Pretty ridiculous. It's challenged by what we're seeing right now. And on top of that, remember that the Israeli data, as well as U.S. data, says the opposite. And we'll show you this next. It literally tells you that what's happening right now is basically saying that can the target, and let's read it again, the target of broader range of SARS-CoV-2 variants carrying single letter changes, the mRNA vaccine, compared to antibodies acquired from an infection. They're saying that the vaccine will be able to apply to these larger variants. That's what it was. So the idea is that the real world data coming out of all these locations are verifiably showing you that when confronted by the Delta variant and other ones, it's markedly dropped. That's the Israeli data. So, I mean, I already said that. I lost my train of thought there for a second. So the point is, going to the next study, which will show you that all the information, even from U.S. studies, is challenging that. It says these results add to evidence that people with acquired immunity may have a differing levels, which is always the case, by the way. But the point is, those differing levels have already been shown to be exponentially higher and lasting longer than the vaccine, the injection. It says of protection to emerging SARS-CoV-2 variants. May means we don't know. More importantly, the data provide further documentation that those who'd had and recovered from the infection still stand to benefit from getting vaccinated. Except that's not true. The data shows that, well, nope, we've gone through all of it. Recovered COVID patients don't benefit from the injection. Oh, where's that coming from? And a U.S. study says that, no less. According to the U.S. study conducted in Cleveland, Ohio, published in MedRxiv, which we're not going to show next, but people who were infected with the coronavirus enjoy significant long-term immunity from the virus, which is unlikely to be increased by being injected with one of the coronavirus vaccines now on the market. Now, remember, we also showed you the data showing this increases your risk. It can actually cause complications. And a lot of people have been pointing this out. Here's another one. No point vaccinating those who had COVID-19. The study's finding revealed that individuals with previous SARS-CoV-2 infections do not get additional benefits. But yet, here he is, just stating these things as fact, even though we're watching that lie in real time. You see, this is the meltdown of the vaccine narrative. Like, they're yelling things at you. Studies say, right? Experts point out things that have no basis in reality. Oh, where? What experts? What sources? We're not going to tell you, though, because it's probably not even there at this point. I mean, I don't know for sure. Even if it is there, the point is that there's a huge body of evidence that challenges what they're saying, and they're ignoring it. Peer-reviewed science. But to wrap this up, their injection is not working. And that shows you that it's Delta or ones coming after that. And on the other side of that, the data, which comes from Israel and in multiple locations, is showing you that the unvaccinated with natural immunity are having a better response to even the variants. ongoing. And as we showed you in regard to the same data, that people who are vaccinated in regard to the Delta variant have a 6.72 times, are 6.72 times more likely to get sick. This is all very clear. Now this says, Vern Buchanan believes vaccine helped him fight off COVID, but he's not pushing shots. Right. So this is a politician stepping in to say what the media was already parroting. Study suggests flu shot linked to less severe COVID cases. Oh, okay. So their injection's not working. So now they're going to push the injection for the flu, even though the flu doesn't exist, remember, right? Because it just doesn't magically disappear. But no, what actually happened is it was combined with COVID-19, as even the WHO and the HHS has pointed out, that they combine these things and it's not actually the honest truth. But now they're pushing the flu shot. Why? Not because it stops the flu, because the flu is not there, but because the flu shot lessens the severe COVID cases. Now, what happens if they're giving you a flu shot after you've had two vaccines to lessen the COVID? How about, I mean, so is this supposed to apply to people who are unvaccinated? No, they're pushing this across the board for vaccinated and unvaccinated alike. So you need two shots to stop you from getting this problem that you catch anyway, because it doesn't work. Then they're going to give you another flu shot to stop you from lessen the thing that you shouldn't catch in the first place. Over here, unvaccinated world, you're going, well, I'm not worried about any of this. It just seems unreal. Now, I've heard plenty of people talking about the concept that the flu shots are going to be COVID shots. Now, I haven't seen anything to back this up. There's a lot of this swirling discussion, but this is something that we should be careful and look into. Because remember, there's a precedent for this. The swine flu discussion, where they were caught giving a vaccine, they swapped them out at the last second for something else when they told them it was for swine flu and they did a different one. That's what led to neurological problems. They lied. Or like the flu, for instance, they've been caught using just the normal flu vaccine for other things that they had rise up. Oh no, a new flu strain. And they ended up using the same flu vaccine from the year before. All this has happened in real time. They've been caught. So we should genuinely wonder whether they're just going to say, well, here's the COVID shot, because we tweaked it and it will apply to flu in the same way, or whatever they want to say, or not say anything, in fact. Bottom line, they're pushing the flu shot now under a new guise of lessening COVID severity, which is exactly what their injection is supposed to do. It's really ridiculous. But don't forget that even the Pentagon study showed that you're 36% more at risk of catching coronaviruses in general after the flu shot. That was a Pentagon study. Now, as JFK, RFK Jr. pointed out, that study very clearly also showed, that was Corbett, that in general, it just says that you're more at risk at infections in general, that the flu injection increases your risk of other infections. So in the middle of a so-called pandemic, why would you give a flu shot that increases your risk of the very type of issue this is, a coronavirus, as well as increasing your risk of infection while you're wearing a mask that increases your risk of infection? This is, like I said before, one angle of the illusion building to the others. The mask leads to the injection, which leads to the lockdown, which leads to the mask, which leads to the injection. Round and round and round we go. All of them causing their own problems, which get pointed to as you or the natural issue. It's all over the place. Flu shots may protect against severe complications of COVID-19. Get the flu shot now for something that's not even supposed to be used for. And that's totally okay, though. But don't use vitamin D, because that's dangerous. Just such hypocrites. It makes you sick. But there are people fighting back. It is happening, and it's most of the country. It is most of the world, and we need to see that. Hundreds rally at Michigan Capitol against vaccine mandates. Hundreds, except it's not actually hundreds. It's more like thousands, but that's how they tend to misrepresent this, as they always do. This is just a local affiliate mainstream channel. As Michigan death toll nears 20,000, right? Of course. Oh my God, how dare they? It's, you know, what's funny is if this was a Black Lives Matter rally, well, it's okay because politics are more important, is what they said in the beginning. But now, no, but now it's a rally against mandates. Now it's dangerous. It's just so ridiculous. And that's not even meant to be. Like, even just yesterday when I made a point about the Black network or the person on that, in no way was that a race point. And I don't know why people can't see past their own assumptions. It's just insulting. That was about hypocrisy. In no way was I saying it's racist for them to bring on a Black channel. That's just dumb. I was clearly saying that it's hypocritical that something can be called a Black something channel and not a white something channel would be racist. I'm not calling that racist. I'm calling, they're calling it that. And I'm saying that's hypocrisy. You see, but somebody was railing against me in a comment about how blind I was to the racism of this or that. And I'm like, you completely lost the point. You missed my point completely. It's just frustrating. There's so much of that going around. People are willing to believe what they want to believe. And COVID has never been more clear on that. But again, people are rising up. This is Tel Aviv. This is in Israel. Tel Aviv awakening against the dictatorship, right? This is somebody in Israel posting this. People are seeing this. People are seeing this, guys, and they are standing up against this all around the world. Italy, Israel, the United States. It's happening all over the place, guys. And as Robert Malone points out, this is in regard to Israel specifically. He said, this is key to understanding what the heck is going on. Apparently in Israel, he's told by a scientist in Israel, the agreement between Pfizer and the government is that no adverse events from the vax are to be disclosed for a minimum of 10 years. Surprise, surprise, right? Now, here's the document he's linking to. I just want to read you the quote they share. And it comes back to this Pfizer discussion, the Pfizer agreement we've already gone over, where that documentation was released or leaked and we weren't supposed to see it. And it shows you everything we're seeing. It says, if you were wondering why ivermectin was suppressed, it is because the agreement that countries had with Pfizer does not allow them to escape their contract, which is interesting, which states that even if a drug will be found to treat COVID-19, that the contract cannot be voided. Even if they suddenly go, those vaccines are dangerous. Well, however it works, something shifts, their contract can't be voided. But the interesting part about this is it's not just about that. Ivermectin and other things, by the way, which you should have a choice about, were suppressed because if there was any valid alternative, they wouldn't have been allowed to emergency authorize these things. And I've shown you that many times. It says it right in the documentation that there's no valid alternatives. Vitamin D, ivermectin, remdesivir, hydroxychloroquine, whatever your choice. Any of them were valid and have a long history of efficacy. They all have side effects too. But that's one point, and so is the one I made. And the bottom line is, you should read this, by the way. It's an interesting article that they're hiding things from you. And the documentation shows you that they're hiding. How can we pretend it's safe and effective if we now know that they had to keep these things from your view? Time to wake up, guys, and hopefully we're reaching one more person every day. That's what makes this worth it. One person. That's it. One more person. But to finish off, another study. This is from UMPC in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. It says, researchers identify groups hesitant about COVID-19 vaccines. Now, some of this, you know, tries to make the case that, you know, people are, you know, sort of pro, like basically making the argument that we are vaccine hesitant and that's a problem, right? But here's one interesting point that somebody pointed out on here. It says a study conducted by researchers from Carnegie Mellon University and the University of Pittsburgh, the scientist Robin Mejia, PhD, MPH, special facility at the CMU, Dietrich College of Humanities and Social Sciences, and senior author of the paper, and Wendy C. King, PhD, associate professor of epidemiology in Pitt's Graduate School of Public Health, and first author, reviewed the responses of approximately 1 million Americans per month, which is a lot, to assess trends in vaccine acceptance. I find interesting. It says the researchers partnered with the Delphi Group at CMU, which we've mentioned before, which runs an ongoing national COVID-19 survey collaboration with the Facebook Data for Good Group. Not only is that just a clumsy, dumb name, it's just like, you know, Facebook for Freedom, Not Spying on You Group. Like, it's just so dumb. It sounds like a bad translation. Facebook Data for Good Group. You know what I mean? Like, just name it we're not bad. Look at us. It's like they're screaming at you what you want you to think. Like, the not spying on you and stealing your life group. But the point is, Facebook involved in collaboration when a million people's, and let's not pretend like we're pretending like they don't know what's going on, right? When they try to pretend like we don't know who's unvaccinated, yet we're going to be coming to your doors. They're tracking all of this, guys. And that's the point. And even Facebook is monitoring this and selling that data. But the point was, the survey asked people whether they like to take a vaccine, whether they would take a vaccine were it offered to them today. People who said probably not or definitely not were considered to be vaccine hesitant. Okay. Now, the main point, there's a lot in here you could read about that you probably take two-party illusion points from. It says the main point, the largest decrease in hesitancy between January and May by education group was in those with a high school education or less. So the largest decrease in that hesitancy they're trying to stop was in the least educated. Hesitancy held constant in the most educated group, those with a PhD. By May, PhDs were the most hesitant group, meaning people with PhDs were the most hesitant against the injection. Now, does that line up in any way with what they're selling? That it's all a bunch of fringe anti-science conspiracy theorists that are overtaking the entire medical apparatus and we have to stop them because they're terrorists? Or does that paint a picture for showing you that the people who are highly educated are very aware this is alarming and scary? And that's why they're telling you that. The Bhaktis and the Yidins and the .PA and the James Lyons Weilers and the Denny Rancourt, they're the ones out there trying to keep you informed. And they trot out their PhDs, or excuse me, they trot out their pediatricians, you know, from these little groups. You know, it's just so insulting how obvious this is. And I know I say that a lot, but it really is, because it's the... they know that you see this and they don't care. The most educated among them were the ones that were the most hesitant. It says, while vaccine hesitancy decreased across virtually all racial groups, Blacks and Pacific Islanders had the largest decreases, joining Hispanics and Asians at the low. Now, you see, there's no context. The point is that if that could have gone down by 2%, because that was the most in all categories, the bottom line is that the most educated are the most hesitant. And that actually increased. There's really no way to misunderstand that. And just to bolster that point was this MIT study that said the same thing. Now, I'm not going to dive back into this, but just so we remember, this was the MIT study that came to a pretty obvious conclusion that the people who were questioning the mask mandates in particular, in fact, had the highest understanding in this context of the scientific method. And the people that were screaming, trust the science, were the ones that were not really posting the science. The scientific research, the people that were telling you the masks were dangerous were in depth in the scientific method and were posting scientific research. It's all in there for you to read. So if MIT tells you that the people who are more educated are the ones that are posting the fake news and the PhDs are the one that most hesitant against the injection, I think it makes a pretty obvious example of who the real experts are out there. And the fact that it doesn't paint a picture of only fringe conspiracy theorists leading you astray. Now to finish the last point, New York State Teachers Union says they do not support a vaccine mandate. The Teachers Union, of all people, remember it's sort of like the moment when all nurses are heroes until suddenly most nurses didn't want the dangerous injection. And so they just quietly stopped saying that. Well, teachers are fighting for for your children, and same thing. I bet you it's so frustrating how we're interestingly seeing. Now, it's not every school in every location, but it seems that most people are aware of this. 60% of Marines, 60% of a lot of these groups we're seeing, 60% of Denver police officers are saying no. This shows you that there is a lot of people who are highly educated, not necessarily the teachers, but some of them are probably highly educated, but in this regard, that are highly educated, that are absolutely aware of the problem, and they're only digging in further because they're finding more information. What we need to do as a community is continue to bring this information to people who would not otherwise have it in front of them, right? That's what we need at all costs. We need to keep fighting for this information. And that's what you're here for. And we won't stop. That's why they're afraid of what we're doing, because we are relentless and we will continue to bring this information to you day after day. And as I've said before, I will continue to strive for 5 shows a week. And that tends to include interviews, but I'm always, as you hopefully know, shooting for 7. But, life happens, things happen, but I will continue to shoot for 5 at a minimum and continue to bring this to you as much as possible. And that will be intermittent. That will be sometimes 3 days in a row and so on and so on. But it's for me, as hopefully you've come to see, it's not about a specific time or, a specific routine. It's about the truth. And if I find something right before I'm going live that I need to research because it's important, that may make the show go longer or take longer to load or take longer to go live. We should care about nothing more. We should care about nothing as much as the truth today and making sure that we are objective at all costs, because they are doing everything to paint us as the opposite and failing. You're succeeding, and it's because of how much you care and how obviously dedicated you are to pushing this forward. So thank you for being here. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective.
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. Yeah! When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We called people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop, man. This shit ain't right, bro.
But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under
all
your nose.
A note that says
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen, get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.